Beautiful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. I believe it was Charles Wesley that said that he'd give up all of the songs he wrote, and he wrote some good ones, if he could have written just that one song. That song brings you to tears. It really does. That's a hallelujah moment. Hope my makeup's not running. Isaiah 41, verse 21. God speaking. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Basically, God is saying, why don't you consider why? Why don't you think about why you believe what you believe? Why you do what you do? He says, I want to hear your cause. I want to hear your strong reasons. Now, this brings to mind several observations, some of them to me quite astonishing. These observations that I want to deal with in order include the first one, God is rational, and His universe, His creation, is a rational creation, which is surprising to a lot of people when they consider it. The second observation I want to talk about is that God is reasonable. That is, that God has reasons for what He has done and what He's decided. And the third observation that I find very astonishing is that God is dealing with unreasonable people. And He has been dealing with unreasonable people for a long time. And number four is that God is actually reasoning with you at this moment. He's trying to get you to think. Maybe to think like He thinks. Maybe to get you to understand the way He understands. And so, dealing with these things, you have to understand how astonishing it is, how surprising it is that our so rational and reasonable God has to deal with such irrational and unreasonable people. The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like him. And the reason why you do answer a fool according to his folly is so that you can teach him something. And that's what God is doing. He's trying to teach us something. I really do think that we need God's help. So let's ask Him for it. Lord, I ask You, maybe God, You got something to say to somebody. Maybe somebody needs to think some things through and come up with with some understanding. And God, only You can reach the heart. We just cannot do it. We can't persuade and we can't compel. But Your Holy Spirit can reach all the way into the heart, into the soul, to the discern the thoughts and intents of the heart and make them see. And so if there's someone here, Lord, that You want to speak to, I ask Your Holy Spirit to deal with them, touch them, and give them no peace until they see You, until they know You as a Savior and as a wonderful, rational, reasonable God who's proven His love and His benevolence. God, teach them and talk to them and help us and help me this morning. Bless this young lady that's given her life to You. Take her, Lord, and use her. Make her Yours. Be jealous over her, Lord, with Your godly jealousy. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Isaiah here. Isaiah is a book written during about 100 years or right before the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel and about 100 years or so before the destruction of the southern kingdom. And he's mainly dealing with Judah, but he also deals with Israel. The only other book of prophecy that deals with Israel is the book of Amos, and he was a prophet from Judah, and he was sent to the northern kingdom to prophesy to Israel, and that's the reason why we have some words of prophecy spoken to Israel. But this one in Isaiah also deals with Israel somewhat. And he gets in here and he starts talking. You know, Isaiah is a wonderful book, but he's talking here to Judah, who had become quite idolatrous. That is, in their way of dealing with people, their way of dealing with God, they had become idolaters. And I don't understand what the appeal of idolatry was. It's difficult to understand. And I think that's the reason why God wrote this very statement right here. He says, I'm having a hard time understanding why you do that. Why do you have idols in your home? Why do you pray to people who aren't God? Why do you regard heathen superstitions? Why do you have all this stuff that offends me and bothers me? Does it give you anything? Does it help you in any way? And this is his controversy that he has with these people who have the true religion. They have the revelation of God. They've got the Bible in their homes. They go to a temple dedicated to God and that He filled with His glory. And yet they have their idols in their homes. And he says, get them out. Get rid of them. He says, I don't understand your reasoning. Apparently these idols had some emotional appeal to people. There was something about these images of Baal and Dagon and Chemosh and Moloch. There was something about them that made them feel good. Something about them that lifted them up, that gave them some kind, maybe it was, you know, just like a superstitious satisfaction. Somehow they liked it. And so it was hard. You know, they were the kind of people that saw what the Bible says in the Old Testament, talking about not having idols and, you know, having only one God and only serving Him and never bowing down to an image. And they were saying, you know, we don't want to be so fanatical that we get real nitpicky about every little thing. Surely God doesn't mind if we have this little junk. It's pretty. Forgive me if I notice that this is awful similar to some of your arguments about Christmas. Amen. Not trying to just bug you, but hey, wake up and read the prophets. Wake up and read them. God had a problem with them having, you know, they believed in the real God. They prayed to the real God. They loved the real God. They had the Bible. They liked the prophets. They went to church. But they had their idols. And God said, you don't know what's going to happen because of this. It's going to come. It's going to happen. And He has a problem understanding their reasoning. But I'm telling you, God has a problem understanding all of our reasoning at times. God has a problem understanding the way we think. He says, I'm not clear on something. What is it? Have you ever thought about what it is that causes you to make the decisions you make? God is a rational God. Now that means God uses reasoning to establish everything He's done. Notice that when I say He's a rational God, I'm being a little bit technical, I guess. And that is that this universe is created according to reason, not according to mechanics. Now, I realize that the Bible says things like God stretched the heavens with His hands. And He might have, I don't know. I mean, it might have actually been some mechanical thing He did, I don't know. It also might be metaphorical. It might be speaking of Him as if He had done it with His hands. And that's possible also. But I just want you to know that the Bible says very clearly that the reason why the universe exists is because of God's wisdom and understanding. It's a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of reason. Let me just read you a couple. I wasn't really going to go to these, but I just want to read them because they explain better than I can what I'm talking about. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. There's several I could read, but look at verse 19. It says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. Did you realize that our universe exists because of reasoning in God's mind? That it's not just a mechanical universe. You know, there is a group of people since the 1700s, and maybe even earlier than that, but at least since the 1700s, that call themselves rationalists, and they have come to the conclusion, rationalists, very, very inappropriately named, rationalists who believe that there is nothing in the universe that exists except matter and energy, mechanical stuff. They don't believe there was any mind behind it. They call themselves rationalists, and yet they don't believe there was any reason behind it. Surely you can see the irony there. We're talking about people who consider themselves smarter than you. And that's I don't know how else to explain it. They consider themselves smarter than you. That's why they call themselves rationalists. They consider us irrationalists. Because they think they're smarter than you, and they actually come to the conclusion that the mind is just the brain. The mind is just the brain. That if they get enough computers hooked together, they can create artificial intelligence. They haven't gotten even close, by the way, with all the computers hooked together they can come up with. They haven't gotten close to artificial intelligence. In fact, they can't even explain humor. They don't understand it. I've actually researched and tried to study to get somebody who's really smart to explain humor to me. And they can't. They don't know. They got theories, but everybody else disagrees with that theory, and somebody else has another theory. It's just, the honest truth is, they don't know.
Amen.
You guys realize that there are physical senses, mechanical neuroreceptors in our bodies that allow us to get feedback from our environment. That is, we can see light, and we can hear sounds, and we can feel pressure and heat and such. And this is a very complex thing. I know they say there's five of them, but that's very oversimplified. These things are incredible. The amount of design necessary for us to have these things. For example, just to give you an example of this, the nose. Your nose, and I'm not even talking about a dog's nose, but your nose has olfactory receptors. They are neuroreceptors in your nose that allows you to smell little particles. Now, I want you to understand, this is not just that they've got a whole bunch of this one kind of receptor. There are hundreds of kinds of receptors, and all of these receptors only can detect one type of molecule. So that for you to be able to smell all the smells you smell, like the person next to you, for you to be able to do that, God had to design a different receptor for every single molecule you smell.
Yeah.
Hundreds, perhaps thousands. Dogs are way more than us. And that your brain has to be wired, hardwired, and it's like almost half the way to your brain is involved in your sense of smell and taste. Well, okay. Did you realize that that's not even what's really amazing about humans? Because beyond the physical senses, there's something called rational senses. And the rational senses are entirely in the mind. Let me see, I had a little... Rational senses are intuitions found completely in the mind which assign value to physically insignificant attributes. Although values vary among individuals and may change over time, these are not entirely subjective since intuition is universal in humans, and even when the sense changes, it never ceases to exist. Our minds automatically choose, prefer, judge, and discriminate, and even among millions of individuals from widely variant backgrounds, there is surprising agreement of preference. Any human, even in infancy, will respond to a symphony positively and to screeching tires negatively. Reactions of this nature are clearly not due to neurological reflexes and differ in several significant ways from instincts, and it goes on. At least these rational senses exist. The sense of aesthetics, that is the intuition of beauty, harmony, balance, absence of defects, delight, joy, pleasure, sport, fulfillment. The sense of empathy, which is the intuition of identity, self, society. The intuition of ethics, the intuition of duty, virtue, morality, fairness, gratitude, shame. The intuition of merit, which is the rational sense of justice, rights, vengeance, debt, guilt. And the rational sense of humor, the intuition of irony, awareness, understanding, relief, which nobody understands. What I'm trying to say is God made us in His image. And we have something that goes beyond the physical. And I want you to know that this universe is not really physical. It's laws. You do realize that laws are language, and language has to have a target and a source. Language is meaningless for just one person. You have to have two. And even computer programmers know that a language has to have something that will receive it. So you write a computer code, it has to have a computer to do something with it. It has to have a target. What I'm saying is God has shown by His wisdom and intelligence and His incredible rational mind what He can do just with reason. Just with thinking. You do know the definition of reason, and I know that different dictionaries will give you a different definition. Basically, if you kind of like figure it out by reading a bunch of them, you'll see that the common thread between all these definitions is reason is the ability to draw conclusions from facts. Or the one I had come up with, the ability to increase information by just thinking. That is, you have a certain set of facts and then you can come up with more understanding by just thinking about those facts. That's the ability to reason. That is what God has. That is what God said created the universe. That is what the universe exists by. God is a rational God and this universe is a rational universe. And you are a rational being. You have reasons. You can reason. You can think things through. And I realize that with a little bit of practice, you start really getting better at it. You start reasoning. You start coming up with ways of thinking. You say, well, if... You know, truth is, reason can be reduced to the simple if-then construct. If A, then B. And usually it gets a lot more complicated than that. If A and B and C and D, then X. If A not B, then X. If X, then... It gets a little complicated. And the more ifs and thens and ands that you put together, the more opportunity for failure. More likely you'll be wrong somewhere along that line. And so it takes practice and you start thinking and you start reasoning. And so people who get better at that call themselves rationalists and think they're smarter than you. And the truth is they just had a little more practice in certain areas of thought. But the truth is, God is rational. And what you need to understand is if God made you rational, the one who made the rational person is rational and more rational than you. That is, if He made you a thinker, He's a thinker. And the Bible uses this argument. He that planted the ear, can He not hear? He that planted the ear, can He not? Do you really think God can't hear? He made the ear. He can hear. He that planted the brain, can He not think? We have a very intelligent God. Yes. And a very reasonable, rational God. Amen. And everything has a reason. Do you realize that there are people who don't believe there are any reasons? No reasons. Everything is purposeless, meaningless, and irrational. This is what rationalists believe. All right. Rationalism is often overcompensation for intellectual insecurity. I just throw that out there just so you can chew on that for a while. Science has a tendency to make a conflict between reason and faith. And it's a completely false conflict, folks. You go to college, they'll tell you, that we believe in reason and science and, we don't believe in faith. We don't have faith. And that's just nonsense. Because there is no reason without faith. And there is no faith without reason. In fact, faith and reason are really hooked together. Your faith depends upon your reasons. Your faith depends upon reasoning from evidence that is not seen. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you will get new versions. Unfortunately, a lot of new versions have made the Bible a whole lot more useless. They've made them useless in many ways because they get rid of the knowledge. They get rid of what it says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Nowadays, new versions will say, faith is the conviction. Or faith is the certainty. Or faith is the demonstration or something of that nature. And they have their reasons for it. You know, the translators have a lot of tools in their tool chest to make the Bible say anything they want. But I'm telling you, if you just listen to what God says, and you ought to stop correcting the Bible, just let the Bible speak.
Amen.
Just let Him teach you something. Faith is the substance. Faith is the foundation for your understanding. Faith is the reason for your hope. It's what makes it real. It's what the reality is. It's faith. And the reason why, the point here to be made is that faith and reason are not opposing things. Every rationalist has faith. They don't believe the Bible, but they believe somebody. They're believing somebody. They're believing some philosophy. They're believing something, and they start off with assumptions. And the truth is, the divide that people try to make between reason and faith is a false divide. I don't believe anybody in here should believe anything blindly. God didn't say, just believe this and don't ask questions. He says, produce your cause. Talk to me. Let's think things through. What did He say in the beginning of Isaiah? Come now, let us reason together.
Amen.
Let's think things over. God doesn't want you just to believe blindly anything. He wants you to think. And I tell you, the problem that people have is they're not thinking straight. They're not thinking clearly. They're not being informed by people who have real understanding. You'd be surprised how little understanding there is. You go to school and you find people have a lot of knowledge and little understanding. All right, God is rational. God is reasonable. That is, He has reasons for what He does. He has reasons for His decisions, reasons for His actions. As in, what He does is not based on emotions and fear. It's not arbitrary. It's not impulsive. God is reasonable. Now, not in the sense that we use the word reasonable as in moderate. I have a hard time using moderate as an adjective for God because God is extreme in everything. I mean, He's extremely intelligent, He's extremely powerful, and He gets extremely angry, and He gets extremely loving. He's very extreme. So I'm not talking about moderate, which a lot of times we use somebody, well, these are reasonable prices, means they're moderate. But that's not what I'm talking about. He's reasonable in the sense that He has reasons for what He's doing. Did you know He had reasons for making male and female? He didn't want them the same. And there were good reasons for that. Did you know there are reasons that you have two eyes instead of just one? There's reasons. Now, maybe when you're just, you know, thinking about it superficially, you'll think, well, one would be plenty. Till you lose one. God is reasonable. First of all, God is reasonable in His commands and His demands. He said, give me one day.
Amen.
He didn't say, give me 6 days. He's not a tyrant. He's not a despot. He's reasonable. He says, give me one day. Give me 10%. Those are His demands. He didn't say, give me 90. He said, give me 10. Who can deny that that's reasonable? Have you ever considered the Ten Commandments? How reasonable they are. Just me. I'm the only God. Worship me only. That's a real good, simple, easy to consider and easy to come up with command. Yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. If there's only one God, worship me only.
Thou shalt not kill. Wow, that's reasonable. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Makes perfect sense. Does anybody disagree with these rules? Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't be looking over at your neighbor covetously. All perfectly reasonable commands.
Amen.
God's reasonable. Why is it that you think He's unreasonable? Why do you think that living a Christian life and living a godly life and living according to God's will and God's Word and doing things God's way, why do you think of that as fanatical or hard or difficult? He's reasonable. Did you know that His judgments and His punishments are reasonable? Now, this is where people have a real problem.
Amen.
They say, no, He gets angry. How could He get so angry? How could he commit genocide? He made you, and He's going to take you out. The Bible says, I give life. God says, I give life, and I take life. He does His judgments according to reason. There are people that will say, well, hell just does not seem reasonable to me. Until you really stop and consider the absence of punishment. Did you know that judges, I work for judges, do you know that judges are judged? They're judged by you. You go to open court, you sit there in front of the judge, and that judge lets the guy off. You judge that judge. You say, that's a useless judge. He let him go. Judges get voted out because they're too soft. Judges don't get voted out because they're too hard. Why? Because we need punishment. And punishment's got to have some deterrent factor. And this is in a very imperfect system. Very imperfect system. You hear a judge say, well, this is the best system on earth, which is ridiculous for her to say because they haven't been everywhere on earth. Maybe there is someplace better. But one way or the other, it's an imperfect system, and we need judges that judge. We need judges that make difficult decisions in people's lives. They've got to do it. I served on a jury recently on a divorce, and Texas is only one of two states that allows divorce to be settled by a jury. And it irritated me. I was sitting on that jury, irritated that I had to make that decision. They made me and 11 other people make the decision about who the baby goes with and where the money goes. And man, you made your bed, you sleep in it. You got problems, you take care of it. Why do I have to make these decisions? And then the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 came to mind, says, you're going to be judging angels. Why can't you judge that? I said, all right, Lord, I can judge this. How would you judge? How is it that you think that you, being a responsible judge of things, like if you're a parent, you have to judge? And I know that parents are not interested in justice. They're interested in quiet. I get that. Thanks to Bill Cosby, that made things clear. We're not interested in justice. We're interested in quiet. Yeah, that's right. I get it. But you are also interested in justice. You also, you know, nowadays, two boys get in a fight at recess. They don't ask who started it. They just kick them both out of school. Somebody's got to make a decision. Somebody's got to make a judgment. Did you know that God makes reasonable judgments? And very patient, not impulsive, very patient. Takes His time. We have a tendency to make impulsive judgments, don't we? Did you know that God's objectives are reasonable? Thoroughly thought out. What God wants to do. Did you know that what God wants to do in your life is thoroughly thought out? Did you know that all the obstacles in your life that God had a hand in putting there are completely thought out and God has a reason for them? Maybe that reason is for His glory, not so much your benefit, which would be fine because He's God. But quite often, His reasons have your benefit in mind. And you can see it. Just pay attention to God. Do you not have any faith at all to say God is reasonable in my life?
Amen.
What God has done to me is reasonable.
Amen.
Even if He's made you a stump. Even if He's made you a knot and a scab and all you are is a piece of pain, God is reasonable. He doesn't ask too much from you, doesn't demand too much from you. He has objectives that are thought out and reasonable. His book is reasonable. His ways are reasonable. This is the God you have to deal with. Now, there's another astonishing fact here, and that is that God is surrounded by people who don't think straight. God has been dealing with fools for years. You wonder why Jesus was willing to go talk to that guy in the tombs? He'd been dealing with idiots for years. Everybody He talked with was ignorant. Everybody He dealt with was coming back with crazy questions. Questions that just missed the mark completely. He had been trying to teach very, very ignorant, foolish people for years. It's not difficult for God to handle you because He's dealt with people like you for many, many, many years. So He's very patient. He's dealing with you. But you have to stop and think about how this makes God. It surely frustrates God in some way. Didn't Jesus many times say, "Oh, ye of little faith, how long must I suffer you? How long do I have to put up with you?" I mean, He had just fed 5,000 men besides women and children with just a few loaves. And they forgot to buy bread on the trip. And when He told them about the leaven of the Pharisees, they're saying, "Oh, we forgot to buy bread and now He's upset at us." Man, how can people be so unreasonable? How? Did you know that children trust their friends more than they trust their parents? Is there anything reasonable about that? I know my dad says that teenagers, when they hit 13 years old, they go into orbit. And they don't get back to Earth till about 25. You can ask Lauren if that's true or not. The truth is, kids don't reason too well. They don't think things through. They don't have a lot of, and I'm not speaking specifically about Lauren. She's doing a good job being a teenager. It's hard to be a teenager because you got to start making decisions on your own, and your first few decisions are going to be some whoppers. It's amazing how all the most important decisions you're going to make in life you're making when you have the least experience to make them. Did you know that women prefer career over children? Is it possible God's saying, "That doesn't sound reasonable to me"?
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have men who prefer their jobs over their families. And maybe they have some sort of an excuse because they've got to provide, but hello, folks. Maybe you're not thinking straight. Is it possible that some of the decisions you're making this week are because you're not thinking straight? You're not in your right mind like that guy in the tombs?
Amen.
You're out of your mind. You're making crazy decisions. Like, why don't you ask yourself why you got that tattoo? Did you know that there are people who think that homosexual behavior is the same as marriage? Every sane person in the universe knows that's not true.
Amen.
But there are an awful lot of people, so-called intelligent people, who will insist that it's the same thing. That homosexual behavior is the same thing as marriage. Or they actually confuse sex with love.
Yep.
That happens all the time. Did you know that there are some men who live to drink? Does that seem like well thought out? Well-reasoned decision in your life. I one time was flipping through channels way back years ago, back when I had cable. I don't miss it, by the way. I don't miss cable. Fine without it.
Yep.
But
I flipped through and there was some channel, it was some kind of a comedy channel, I don't know the name of it, but had some stand-up comics, several in a row, right in a row, so I was listening to them. And one of them, and they were all trashy, this junk, they don't have nothing on there that's good, but one of them, he came out and said, "I like to drink." And the whole crowd almost gave him a standing ovation, clearing a hot... And I was thinking, what did he say that got these people going? He said, "I like to drink." And the whole crowd erupted with cheers and clapping. Woo-hoo! I like to drink. Somebody's not thinking. God made you a thinker, and you love to do what makes you think worse. What do you like about drink? Okay, so you say it tastes good, but I don't think that's it. I don't think that's what... You know, some people just love a party, and that's what they live for. Every weekend, a party. That's their... They are called party animals. And you know, I'm not just picking on drinking. Some people live for sports. Some people cannot stop talking about the Spurs. Or thrills, or money, or what they just... Oh, good deals. Oh, good deal. That was a good price. I got a really good deal on that. And there are actually people who think that human life is meaningless. That you're nothing more than a monkey. Actually, you're nothing more than a snail. There are people who believe that. Is it possible that God in heaven is saying, "Wow, you really aren't thinking straight. You really aren't in your right mind. You really don't know what you're talking about." Have you ever heard somebody start talking and then you realize they don't know what they're talking about? That's God. Do you realize that when God has surrounded Himself with people who don't think straight, that He has to be asking them, "Why are you making these decisions?" And stop and think about decisions that are made for unreasonable reasons. Like perhaps on emotion. Do people make decisions based on feeling rather than thinking? Yeah, they do. Come on, fess up. Maybe not you, but somebody in your row. You made a decision based on emotion. You saw that new car look and you smelled that new car smell and you socked yourself in for 7 years, $500 a month. And you drove it off the lot and it was worth half of what you paid for it. Based on emotion. Do you know that some people base their decisions in life on lust?
Amen.
Animal impulse.
Amen.
Ruin the rest of their life. Forever. Change themselves forever. Based on animal lust.
Amen.
Is that reasonable? Is that thinking straight? Children, pay attention.
Yes.
Amen.
Listen up. Watch out for animal lust and watch out for emotions.
Amen.
And that goes for women and men.
Amen.
Did you know some people make decisions based on what other people do? They call it peer pressure. But you're one of the peers. Have you ever noticed that parents sometimes will say, "It's just the kids he's hanging around with." But the parents of those kids are saying, "It's your kid." The reason why is because people are making decisions based on what other people think. Based on what's popular. That happens all the time. Do you know the difference between reason and rationalizing? Rationality and rationalizing. Reason is where you go from facts to get to a conclusion, and rationalizing is where you start with a conclusion and you look for facts.
Right.
It's backwards. Completely backwards. Did you know that a tremendous number of our decisions are made backwards?
Guilty. Amen.
I'm talking about us people in here.
Amen.
We make decisions. And then we come up with reasons for that decision. Like, you know, your old car was bad. That's why you had to buy that new car. You have to get to work, right? There's all kinds of backwards reasoning. You know what's most amazing to me is the unreasonable this fact of unreasonable decision making is when you are reasoning correctly, you think it all through, and then you do exactly what you had decided was the worst thing to do. It's like when somebody comes to a pastor and says, I need some counsel. And so they tell you the problem, you give them the counsel, and they go off and do exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. Do you realize how many times you make good reasons, good conclusions, and then don't follow through on them?
Amen.
You might say, you know, I'm going to stop drinking soda. I'm going to start drinking water. Then somebody said, hey, you want to go get a soda? Sure. Let's go get a soda. That's the way it is. You say, I'm going to fast all day today. Oh, is that a Butterfinger? Wow. We do this all the time. We can think straight and then we can't follow through on our thinking.
Amen.
All of these things are examples of unreasonable people.
Amen.
And people have unreasonable reasons for what they do when it comes to God.
Amen.
They have unreasonable reasons for sinning. They're not thinking straight when they go against God's Word. And they're not thinking straight when they go against God's will. And they know His will. And they're not thinking straight when they go against God's way.
Amen.
Do you know that God has a way? All right. I want to get to the fourth astonishing observation here. And that is that God is reasoning with you at this moment. And that really ought to astonish you. Because here when we were reading that, there's so much more to deal with on that, but when we were reading this, he says, produce your cause. Talk to me. And it's not because he was ignorant of your cause. He knows all your way of thinking. He wants you to mouth it out. He wants you to talk it out because you need some help. It's similar to prayer. God doesn't want us to pray so that He can find out what we need or what we want. He wants us to pray so that we can find out what we need and what we want. It's an exercise in faith. It's so that we'll know the source of all of our good things. And that's what prayer is about. And God is saying now, talk to me. You need to verbalize your thinking to God. And you might ought to try that. You might ought to just talk to God. You say, well, I'm not even sure God exists. Well, ask Him. Do you exist, Lord? The Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. Why don't you just ask Him? You say, well, God's never shown Himself to me. Ask Him. Ask Him to show Himself to you. Don't give up. Ask Him again. Keep asking Him.
Amen.
Until He does it. You say, well, that's putting the cart before the horse. You're finally starting to think straight. You're finally starting to reason like God reasons. God says, make a step. And what do you have to lose, folks? Come on, seriously. What great thing do you have to lose by giving God? Oh, you know, what is the reason? Stop and think. What is the reason why you reject God's will? What is the reason why you reject God's way? Does God's way seem boring? I've heard intelligent people say that they can't ask God for help because it would go against their intellectual integrity. They've got to be consistent. Well, why? Who are you? What makes your consistency so important to the universe? You need to find God. You need to get God in your life. What's wrong with asking Him for help?
Amen.
What's wrong with saying, God, help me?
Yes, amen.
I messed up my life. I need help.
Amen.
Just pride. That's all that's in your way. Just
amen.
Pride. I've heard people say they're not going to go to God and ask for help. And they're not going to live God's way. And they're not going to follow God's book. They're not going to seek His Word. They're not going to do those things because of failure in Christians. And by the way, there's a lot of failure in Christians.
Yeah. Amen.
Any Christian who acts like he doesn't fail, he's just out there. He's not thinking straight. We know that there's failure in Christians, so that is completely unreasonable to tell God, I'm not going to follow you because the people who claim to follow you aren't perfect. That's not reasonable. Why don't you just mouth that out to God? Why don't you just tell God what your reasons are? Do you have any reasons for the way you're... Why did you get that tattoo? Produce your strong reasons. I can see a kid explaining to daddy why she got that tattoo. Explain your reasons. You ain't got no reasons.
Amen.
Tell me why you drink.
Amen.
Go ahead, explain that. Have you ever thought about it? Why do you like drinking?
Amen.
I don't know you. I don't know what you do when you leave this place. I don't know. But why? Do you have any reasons for being a party animal? Think them over. Come up with them. So explain something to God, because you're going to have to someday.
Yeah.
You're going to have to someday stand before God and He's going to say, now's your chance. Explain it all. You're going to have an entire audience of holy angels and just men made perfect. Explain it. Tell us what was on your mind. What are your reasons for smoking? You got any reasons? I smoked for 2 months in high school because I wanted to learn how to blow smoke rings. Now, there's a good reason, right? That's actually the best reason I've heard for smoking. You got a better one? I'd be glad to hear it. That's fine. What are your reasons for gambling? You say, don't go preaching against gambling. We know it's not wrong. Okay. What are your reasons? You want to get rich? Is that what it is? You like taking other people's money? Give me your reasons. I'm listening. God's listening. What's your reason for fornicating?
Amen.
Could it be impulse? Could it be pure self-gratification? Could it be... What are your reasons? Give us your strong... No. He didn't say give your reasons. He said give your strong reasons. Come up with something good.
Amen.
Come up with a good reason for that.
All right, amen.
You just wanted to produce children that have no father? Is that what it is? What is your strong reason for... You want to spread your seed? Morons. So all we need is more people like you in the world. I'm sorry. What do you spend your money on? Why? You know, the world needs to be understood, not just in the where, the what, the when, and the how. You also need to know why. Why did God make you? It's a good question to ask. Why? Why do you exist? I hear people saying, does God exist? Why don't you just ask the other question, why do you exist? Is there a reason? If there's no reason, don't call yourself a rationalist. What do you spend your time on? What are your interests and why? Why do you love the Spurs? You related to any of them? You live vicariously through them? Is that what it is? I've wondered many, many years why... I guess it's girls too now, but boys are so interested in video games. Why? I mean, why did I put together plastic models when I was a kid? We don't have a lot of good, strong reasons, do we? Is it possible we're not all that high up on the evolutionary ladder? Did you know that God is reasoning with you? Did you know that He gave you a book to explain things all the way from the beginning? If you read there in Isaiah, I was reading in chapter 41, and I was starting at verse 21. Let me just read a couple more verses. He says in 21, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth. Show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, do something, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. He keeps on going. Verse 26, who hath declared from the beginning that we may know? I'll tell you who, God. God told us from the beginning that you might know. That we may know. And before time that we may say, he may say, he is righteous. Nobody else can show that stuff. God is reasoning with you. He gave you a book that you can read and understand and think like him. Amen. He gave you wise counsel that has stood the test of time. It's better than Dr. Spock.
Amen.
It's better than all the psychologists. This book is better. It gives you all the wisdom. Did you know that God was reasoning with you? He's saying, you, come now. Let us reason together. Let's think things through. Let's talk things out. Come and speak to me. Come and listen to me. Let me give you some wisdom. Let me give you some advice. You want to know about drinking? I got a few choice morsels of advice for you about drinking. You want to know about fornication? Oh, I can tell you. You want to know about whores and whoredom and whoremongering? You want to know about that? It's got the book. The book is right there. It'll tell you all about it. You want to know about homosexuality? Let God fill you in. Don't listen to the American Medical Association. They're letting politics play with them anyway. Don't listen to the psychologists, psychiatrists. Don't listen to the news outlets. Don't listen to the politicians. It's all going down. Yeah, it's right down the pike. It's coming. And folks, God's way is being rejected right in front of our eyes in our generation. It has been, and it's going to be, and it's going to get worse. God said so. God said so. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a predictor. But I read the Bible, and He says it's going to get worse. What I'm telling you here is, God is reasoning with you now. Let him have his way.
Yes. Amen.
Why don't you let him talk to you? Why don't you let him straighten your life? You got problems in your life? Hey, he's got solutions.
Yes.
He's got answers. You got questions. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Amen.
He can make your sin and guilt go away. He can make your muddy thinking disappear, and all of a sudden things get clear. All of a sudden you got answers. All of a sudden things make sense. All of a sudden you're seeing with both eyes straight ahead, and you know which way to walk, and you can see where not to step. Because God can do that. God can clear you up. He can make your life different. Did you know that prodigal son wasn't thinking straight until he was hungry in a hog pen, hungry, and he says, I'm going to go back to my father. Things were better there. Maybe daddy's got some answers. And he did. Lord, I ask you to touch us, make us clear. There's some people here with some fuzzy thinking, Lord, and they're not thinking straight, but you've been dealing with fools for all of time. You can help them.
Amen.
You can clear their minds. You can make them see and make them understand. You can even give them some answers that'll straighten them out. Let them recover so much of what is lost. You can give them eternal life and forgiveness of sins and your Holy Spirit to guide and to comfort and to lift up and establish their goings. Lord, you have the power. God, you have the power to deal with people. I ask you to deal with people here in this room tonight.
Amen.
I ask you in Jesus' name. Let's sing number